are.
Good. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll send us to those things. Hey, dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a new day and life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the lovely weather, for being able to have the service with the windows open and not be foundered. I pray, Lord, that you be one of our number, and not just us, Lord, but anywhere that your word is opened and the full counsel of it is preached. Please bless the hearers and preachers of it. Please use it, Lord, even now to speak to the souls of the lost through a half-remembered message or hymn or even just a word shared in love. Please, Father, put your good hand upon the people that are running the show. And Lord, those that hate you and your people, I pray that you would make good on your promise to curse them. And those, Lord, that bless you and your people, I pray the Lord would make good on your promise to bless them. Lord, we want souls to be saved and people to get a fair shake. We want, Lord, the people that's up to mischief and devilment in every form, hindered at every turn. Confounded, Lord, until they can't say anything but Jesus Christ is Lord. We love you and thank you. Please be with absent brethren, wherever they might be. And I pray to be with Mary Ann this morning. Lucia's disappointed about not being able to be in church. Bless the leaflets that went out yesterday, Lord. We appreciate the opportunity even to give to the apprentice boys. And pray, Father, that souls will be saved. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right, let's take our hymn books and turn to 410 first. 410 in the big hymn books, and we will remain seated as we sing Faith is the Victory. Four verses.
Against the falling best thing.
books that you'd like to scoot away over to near the start, well, further towards the start, 410 is the 132, 132, and if you're able, stand with me as we sing Never Alone. 132, Never Alone.
Sing the lightning flashing and burning. was reading is from the book of Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 10. Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank what that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed with the destroyer. For all these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our abomination, upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as in common no man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from adultery. I speak as of wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communication of the blood of Christ. Communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What I say then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say that the things which Gentiles sacrifice is sacrificed to devils, and not to God. But I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's well. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if a man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice of the idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Amen.
Verses there, one of my favorites is verse 13, where it says, "There's no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it." A lot of good verses there. Thank you for that this morning. Just want to remind everybody to make sure you get one of the little green prayer lists. I think this is in honour of all the green leaves and that we have on the trees and all the green grass that we're going to be cutting over the next couple of months, so, or a few months. So make sure you have one. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to this little prayer list? If you want to think about it and go through the ones that were given last, over the last 2 weeks have been incorporated. If you have any more that you want to add, please let us know. Yes, sir.
The woman Mary Hampton you were talking to?
Yes, indeed. Yes, Abbey Man Jeffrey?
Yes.
These are people that we met on the... whenever we were out tracking yesterday, we were on... Is that the Ross Downey Road? Is that kind of... And the road on the other side of it, is that Ross Downey Road? No, is that Glendermot Road?
Glendermot, yeah.
Glendermot Road. And one of the apprentice boys, I think they were doing a march, and one of the buses pulled up, and thankfully they took a lot of tracks, but there was one. And they all seemed to be in good form about it, too. There was one fella, however, that didn't. Very, very heavy set. He didn't look at all well. He looked a bit grumpy, and he said, "Oh, there's no point in giving me one of those." So the Lord knows who he is, and please do remember him as well. But please pray for Mary Hamilton. That is, that make her your aunt?
Aunt-in-law.
Aunt-in-law. And a wee old man called Jeffrey in Ross Downey Park. We had a good day. The heat was out, and it was nice to see it. It was fierce heat as far as I'm concerned. I was all out in my khakis and trying to keep the sun off of my head, but I felt it yesterday evening. But we had a good time. We got plenty of houses done. Anybody got any private prayer requests? Just to, by way of refreshing the list. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you very much. Anybody got any thanks? Norma.
I'd like to thank the judge for his comments. On Friday morning, it's not over yet, but if there's anything to go back, it's looking good.
We pray so, or we might find that Mark Willington has a bit of Japanese on him and he's a kamikaze. But and a possible, you have 1 month and then another possible court date on the way.
Let's go to the High Court, the jury trial.
There's been a lot of prayer going into that. There's been a lot of preparation, a lot of time. Please do continue to pray for Norman and all of the people involved in that court case. Anybody else got any thanks? Good weather. Tracking. Yeah. All right. We'll have a word of prayer then. If nobody else has anything else to add, and then we'll sing another song or two. Well, if you would do the honours for us, please, God.
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for the well, Lord, for the good thing you've given us. As it comes from your throne, Lord, for Lord Jesus Christ, your death and the cross, to from us into the world as well, Lord. May that always be present in our mind, for Jesus is the Lord of our soul, as thou art also, Lord. With the trust of the boards yesterday, Lord, use of my name, especially the apprentice boys of Batman, save them also, mighty and powerful, Lord. Save Mary Hamilton as well, and Jeffrey, my Jeffrey, Lord. Bring save his soul, mighty power. May I read the tracks, Lord, and only I can Okay, so fertile to receive the Holy Spirit, Lord, and convict the mind and pathways, heal soul, mind and pathways, well, Lord. With Norman in this court case, Lord, we thank you for the result, Lord. Make it, Lord, so that you work in the minds of the judge, Lord, and bring it to fruition, Lord, and to a conclusion as well, Lord, mind and power, Lord, and see the justice from the Lord. With our land, see those mind and power, Lord, and Lord, with the kids which goes out in Tasmania, see those kids, even though they're adults, now, see the mind and power, Lord. Also with the ministers and the pastors and the masters, Lord, throughout this world, Lord. And in the church service that started now, or yet to start, thank you, well, Lord. Remember the Collins, the Haynes, the Atkins, the Bissetts, and Marcus, well, Lord, all the ministers, the Baptists, the pastors, and Christian work, Lord, and say, Lord, use the mighty power, Lord, and give them the Holy Spirit, Lord. They may give them words to speak to the lost and to the backslidden as well, Lord, and bring them back to the back as well, Lord. We have absent friends, our brothers and sisters, Lord, and mighty power, bring them back to church as well, Lord. We have listened to you, Lord. And redirect our souls unto thee, Lord. May see a blessing today. We welcome the work plan on our glory. Please pray to take it.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our hymn books and sing another one of these good old songs. If you'd like to join me at 258, 258, that is Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. We'll remain seated as we sing hymn number 258. Calvary, and if you're able, let's stand as we sing. hymn number 66 at Calvary. Instead of three or four layers of clothes and a raincoat and making sure all the windows are closed and putting the heat on. We're in John chapter 9 this morning. If you would like to join me there in the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, John chapter 9, and I would like to read you the first seven verses of this portion of God's Word. This is one of my favourite chapters in the Bible, in the book of John. John chapter 10 has been a great help to me in my years and has actually directed me in my Christian life. John chapter 9 is a great portion of God's Word, and I hope this little bit of it this morning will be a help to you. The title for the message this morning is, What Do I Need to Do? What do I need to do? We're only going to read seven verses. Let's get to it. The Word of God said, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master,
Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the stubble, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Amen. That is our reading, and that is our text for this morning. Title for the message is, What Do I Need to Do? Let's pray, and then we will. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all of your many helps and blessings. Thank you, Lord, for each head that is bowed in your presence here and abroad, Lord. I pray you, Father, for portions of wisdom for each one of us. And I pray you, Lord, that we would be never done looking to you for direction and help and guidance and considering your word in all things. Please bless this time that we have set aside, Father. Help us to put it to good use. Supply us this day, I pray, our daily bread. Please put your good hand upon all those that have ever heard the gospel, Lord, and please use those words, those songs, those old lessons to point souls to the foot of the cross. We love you and thank you. I'm sure we all need your help these days, Lord, especially now as we take this time around your word. And we ask all this for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters across the world, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. 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 This is a well-known account, and if you spend any time in Bethel, it is probably an often read account of a man that was born blind and Jesus healing him. And it has a similar thrust to all of the miracles, all of the healings, all of the raisings up, all of the castings out, all of the restorations that Jesus did. As we read this little bit, the Lord has a little bit of a discussion with his disciples when they say, Why was this man born blind? It was obviously somebody's fault. It's always somebody's fault when something goes wrong, so why did it happen? And Jesus said, it's not this man's fault. It couldn't have been the man's fault, because obviously he was born that way, and the Bible tells us that little children, they belong to God until they get to an age of understanding what's right and wrong. Yes, it could have been his parents. Maybe they did something that caused his blindness in the womb, a vitamin deficiency or radiation or chemicals, but those things weren't about them. And really what the Lord said was, it wasn't anybody's fault. Just like the tower that fell on 14 people, things happen in this world. A lot of them happen because of somebody's bad behavior or a mistake or something like that, but things happen. And you never know when things are going to happen. So in the case of the tower that fell on, I think, and killed 14 people, it certainly pays to be right with God and ready to meet him in case your plans and God's plans don't have the same timetable. As the Lord came across this man, he never asked him for money. And he never asked them for a great deed. Who was it that used to do? Was it Hercules and his amazing deeds or something like that? He had to do so many deeds in order to gain the favor of the gods. Jesus never asks for that. There's quite literally nothing that we can give to Jesus or do for Jesus that he can't provide for himself except our love and our service. Those are within our power, and those are completely within our authority. Everything else Jesus has already. These are the only things that we can give. So this is what Jesus did. He made the little bit of clay, put it on his eyes. The work was done. The man was healed. All he had to go and do was wash his face in the pool of Siloam, and he came sane. And that's a crazy miracle. And that is just, that's God all over. People's limbs were being restored. People were able to talk, to hear. I think that he split his fingers once and put them in a man's ears, and the man was able to hear. All of these things were done by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. If we were to read on, we get a very interesting, I'm not going to read it on, I'm going to give you the Bible study notes or the clip notes on them. We read on and see the effect of the miracle in this man's life. I can almost imagine him trying to get home, thinking, here I am and I can see everything, but I only know my way home blind. And maybe him walking home blind, doing all that he did to get back home again. I don't know. Maybe he did that, maybe he didn't. But his neighbors saw him walking around seeing. His parents saw him walking around seeing. And the way that things worked back in the day was, if you ever had an illness, whenever you were healed of it or well again, you had to go to the priest. And they had to give you the okay to be made part of society again. And he went to the priests. And they asked him three times, how did it happen? Who did it? Why did it happen? What did you do? Are you sure this is your son? And eventually, after being asked three times by the very unrelenting scribes and Pharisees, he says, I've already told you three times. Would you like to be his disciple too? Would you like to find him and follow him? And for all of their teachings, for all of their qualifications, the scribes and the Pharisees, whenever they asked him, didn't get a satisfactory answer, but he gave them the answer that counted. He said, once I was blind, but now I see. I'm not worried about your sermons. I'm not worried about singing up and making a good show in church. I can see. I was blind and now I can see. My life has been saved. That's the difference it makes. And that's the difference the Lord made in all of the lives that he came across. One way or another, nobody ever sat in the fence. Everybody made a decision. As we read here, and as you read through all of the Gospels, even the Old Testament, and further on into the New Testament, you will see many instances where the power of God worked in people's lives. Sometimes it was it wasn't observable, except in people's behavior, like Nathanael. Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree before you came here. And Nathanael must have been thinking, only God himself could see me here. Only he knows. Other times, he had Peter walking in the water. Or he called up huge shoals of fish into fishing nets. It was always God's power, and people benefited from God's power because they walked with God. Not because they assumed part of God's power, but because they had faith with God. If it was people, and I know there are many churches out there, even now I'm sure in Northern Ireland, someone is being slapped in the forehead and pushed to the ground and being told they're healed. And they're not really. Because it's not the power of the healer, it's the power of God. If it was honestly, with a saved soul and the Holy Spirit living in my heart, if I was a healer, I wouldn't be here this morning. I would be up in the Altmagelvin Children's Ward. In fact, I would probably start an accident and emergency. And then I would be in the children's ward. And then I would be up in the cancer ward. And then I would go to general surgical. I don't think I could do too much in maternity. Do you know what I mean? I'd be listening to accident and emergency calls. I'm trying to get to accidents where people have been mangled beyond all recognition so that I could heal them. And then after I had finished here, I would go to Belfast or Coleraine or Oma. I would empty the hospitals, and everyone who looked at those people would know that they had been healed. That doesn't happen in these modern day humans, friend. If people could do it, they would do it. But we can't. That's down to Jesus. All that this man had to do was wash his face. I have covered your eyes in mud, go and wash them in the pool of Siloam. And he did it. And he went seeing. And the ethos, the common theme in all of these, one of the common themes is doing what God asks you to do. That's it. Do it my way. One of the greatest examples of that was, if anyone remembers Elijah back in the Old Testament, and then his follow-on, his mentee, the man he mentored, Elisha. Does anyone remember a fellow by the name of Naaman the leper? He was a monster fighter, but he was also stricken with leprosy. And Israel was in a bit of a bind at the time, and Naaman had many Jewish slaves, and one wee girl said, "Oh, if only my master could go to Israel, there's a prophet of God there that'll heal him." Caused an awful lot of ruck, but we're not going to get into all of that. But basically, Naaman comes up to where Elisha is, and Elisha sends a servant out to him and says, "Go and wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman, he's in a huff. "Surely there's better rivers than that in my own country, and I could go and wash there. I could do some mighty deed, and my leprosy would be healed." And one of his servants said, "Master, it's that simple. If all he's asking you to do is go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, why not do it? It's the power of God." And whenever he did and he was healed, he came back in. Humbled. And he said, "I will only worship God from here on in. Only, I have one caveat. I'm like a monster fighter and a monster general. The king leans on my arm when he goes to his temple. And if the Lord will forgive me for bowing with him in the temple to Rimmon," I think he said, "that'll be it." Who was he? An enemy of Israel was he, because he humbled himself and did what God said. Do you remember the father whose son, whose child was tormented with devils? They would throw him into the fire and they would throw him into the water to try and heal him. A Jewish man, I'm sure. He came to Jesus and he brought his little son. And the Lord healed him. And you have to remember, whenever the synagogue was open, Jesus wasn't being high and lifted up in the synagogue. Many times they would have spoken against him in the synagogue. Even though he managed to speak there a few times, he was spoken against. He was schemed against. He was being plotted against. "Lord, I have tried everything else. Nobody can fix my son. Would you please cast these devils out," or whatever. And he healed them. Does anyone remember Jairus's daughter? He was a big cheese in the synagogue. And he had to come to Jesus, humbling himself, admitting that only Jesus could do what needed to be done. And Jesus, he headed towards Jairus' house. But as he was going, there was a twofer. Do you remember the woman that touched the hem of his garment? She came to Jesus in the crowd. She said, "If all I need to do," he touches people. He speaks on them. He breathes on them. Literally, and people are made whole. "All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment." We sing the song. That was Sandra's selection in the Black Book. And she was healed. And he stopped and he says, "Who touched me?" And Jairus was going, "Lord, my wee girl's really, really sick." And the woman made herself known, and He said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith in the omnipotent, almighty, powerful God that made the heavens and the earth has made you whole. It's a little bit like if I said to John at the back, John, would you turn the lights on if they weren't on? I wouldn't expect John to go up like that and say, by the power of John, I command those lights to come on. But if you could do that, I would be impressed. John would just go over and switch the lights on because he knows by faith that if he presses that button, the electricity supplied by the electricity board will flow through those wires and into the lights. It's faith in a greater power. And that is what made the difference. Remember the man that was let down through the roof? They couldn't get near Jesus for the crowd. And they, I'm sure, heard of Jesus. Said, we know, I don't know if that guy was their friend or they just picked up a wee disabled beggar by the side of the road. And they brought him to Jesus. They came. And they busted the roof open and they let him down. And because of their faith, Jesus healed him. They came to Jesus. Does anyone remember the Roman centurion's servant that was sick and near unto death? And the Jews came to him and said, he's done a lot of good things for our country. He has really, really helped us out. If there's ever anyone that would be due, D-U-E, a touch from heaven, it's him. And you remember as he walked towards the centurion's house, he sent the servant saying, look, I understand your power and your authority, the fact that you control these things, you command these things. Just say the word. And of course we know the servant was healed. Does anyone remember the 10 lepers that saw Jesus, and what did they do? They came to him. He healed them. 9 of them cleared off and they were all, I'm healed and I can go and do whatever I want. One came back, a Samaritan, supposedly a hater of the Jews. And he said, thank you. They came to Jesus. I am sure, as you read through all of these, you will find more examples. The widow woman's son, Jesus actually went to her. And raised him from the dead. Lazarus raised from the dead. They are all about people coming to Jesus, humbling themselves whenever they can admit that only he can help, and allowing him to work in their lives, trusting that he could help. See, there's a wee thing we don't know very much about in this day and age. It's called humility. It's called being able to admit that you're wrong. And I have come across many men, even in Christian circles, that can't admit that they are wrong. I remember a man being corrected maybe 20 years ago in Bethel, refused to be corrected. Whenever scriptures were open, whenever the pastor at the time and I went to visit to try and reason with him, he said, I'm a man of God too. I can do whatever I like. Do you want to know where that man is today? His family is broken up. He's shacked up with another woman. That's two families ruined. And another one in the making, and I don't even know what's going on with him. All because he could not admit that he was wrong. I know of another man that over the years doesn't study, doesn't pay his dues in the church, doesn't take his time in prayer like he should, and yet he claims that he is the great power of God and that he knows what's right and that I don't. Wants to stand up at the front of the church but doesn't want to get down on his hands and knees and admit that he is wrong. The Bible has pointed out his error, but he refuses to admit that things are not going well. We don't get that today because so much of our modern teachings, our secular stories and doctrines, is all about me. It's all about me. I'm right. And what people don't know is, whether it's in a hairdressing ad where it says, because you're worth it, you need this most expensive hair shampoo, because you're worth it, or because you deserve it. How many times have we heard on our soaps or in our conversations, you deserve better? Many times. And that is hammered into us at every turn, making people think that they are more than they are. In God's eyes, whether we're young and fit and strong, or whether we're old and decrepit, we're all just sinners. Whether we are rich or poor, whether we have more letters after our name than there are in the alphabet, or whether we only know how to make a cup of tea in the morning, we are all hell-deserving sinners in the eyes of a thrice holy God. And we... I think Norman's the tallest one here. And if Norman was out walking and he came across an ant called Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was muscly, a muscly ant, and he came across another ant called Mark, who wasn't, do you know what the difference between them would be to Norman? No difference. Norman would be hundreds and thousands of times bigger and more powerful than either of them, no matter how powerful either of them are. It would just be ants. And no matter who we think we are all just sinners. Some of us are sinners saved by grace. Some of us are lost sinners. And if we were to look at God, the difference between us is so vast that it defies our comprehension and our ability to bridge that gap, but it doesn't defy his comprehension, and it doesn't defy his ability to bridge that gap. Every one of the healings, every one of the miracles that Jesus did required one thing: a person to humbly come before Jesus. Lord, I'm at my wit's end. Would you please help me? Lord, I've come to the end of my ability. Would you please help me? I think the Bible says if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, in due time, he will lift you up. Humble yourself and admit that you need Jesus Christ to save you. Just to God. You don't have to make a song and dance about it. You don't have to go to another man about it. You only have to go to the Lord in prayer about it and ask him. And the Bible says you will be saved. We have a term in this day and age: if someone does all the work, we say they've done all the heavy lifting. Well, Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. Jesus has done things and continues to do things that are just beyond our comprehension. Casting out of devils, raising up of the dead, his authority and power over nature and even physics itself. It all belongs to God. And the Word of God tells us this. And history even has shown us this. And if you have walked or talked with God, if you have allowed him to put his hand upon your shoulder and direct you or even save you, personal experience will tell you exactly the same thing. What is that? That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever cometh to him, he will in no wise cast out. That he will never leave you nor forsake you, because he will keep you in the palm of his hand. And a lot of people have this question: so what do I need to do now? What can I do? As a preacher many years ago said, I'm afraid it's too late for you to do anything. It's too late. Because Jesus did it all on the cross
2,000 years ago. All each of us can do. And it's very much something you have to do for yourself, is supply one humble and guilty sinner, and Jesus will do all the rest. He'll provide a free, forever, and sure salvation through Jesus Christ. As I was writing this down, not trying to change the description, but I came across this little phrase. It is the sacrifice and power of God wielded with a love and compassion for lost souls that saves a soul. Our only contribution is to provide one repentant sinner. We just have to give him permission. Isn't that all? God loves us that much, and he respects our autonomy, our authority that much in this life. He will respect our decision for the endless ages of eternity. We have a great God, and he offers a great and complete salvation to anybody that wants it. All you have to do is admit that you're wrong and he's right, and ask him to save your soul. Stopping there, thank you for your good time and attention. I appreciate it this morning. Never forget that God loves you, and as you have hard days in this world, even on your worst day, as a Bible-believing Christian, you're still going to heaven. But even on the best day that some of these wicked people have, these lost souls, sadly, they are still going to hell. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us all? Yes, Norm.
Five
in the big book. Number 5 in the big book. When I survey the wondrous cross. That's a good old hymn. I remember singing that in school when I was in primary school. So it's at least 50 years old now. Norman has said it's at least 60 years old. Let's stand and sing hymn number 5, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Oh.
first verse again. There's a bar in it. Folks, God bless you. It's good to see each one of you out. Don't forget to pray for each other. I know whenever we have the lovely weather out, it's lovely just to go out and enjoy all of that, but don't forget the God that gave you it and gave you the time to enjoy it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this lovely bit of time aside from the world. Just, Lord, thank you for your many helps and blessings. As we go, Lord, our separate ways, please watch over us. Keep our wits about us and keep us safe on the roads. And Lord, we look forward to being back at the next appointed time. We love you and praise you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, folks.
Take hands and fellowship for a bit.